Amen. Thank you, Patrick and Patty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Grace, for playing for them. Thank you for that offertory. That was really good. Grace can learn how to play the piano if she's not careful, you know it. Are you entering into the contest at the ranch? All right. What are you playing for that? That one? Okay. All right. I think you almost have it polished off. That music contest at the ranch and in different areas, and she usually enters into the piano competition. I'd be interested to see how she does this year. Have sports and music and all kinds of different things. Wonderful opportunities at the ranch. David's never been to the ranch before. He's going. This will be first time out, first experience at the ranch. We'll see how David does. He's in for some shocks or surprises. I'm not sure which it'll be. Now, of course, some of us old timers remember when there were no warm showers and no air conditioning and a few other things. But, well, these are the modern days where things are much improved at this point. Take your Bibles, turn with us to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look in the fifth chapter of Galatians for our text this morning. Issue a warning to you this morning. When you're out driving, be extremely cautious. I have two granddaughters that got their learner's permits this week. They're both present in the service this morning. I have witnessed them drive. I would suggest that you be aware of your surroundings when you drive. Just kidding. Galatians chapter 5, look at the first verse. Begin reading from verse 1, read down through the 13th verse for our text this morning. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And let's pray once again. Father in heaven, help us as we tune our hearts to your word this morning. And Lord, our hearts are preoccupied with many concerns. Some of them are pressing and very legitimate. But I ask that you would help us as we deal with this portion and with the other affairs in our lives this morning. I pray for that one that is in extreme need this morning. Father, just desperate for the truth of your word. And may you, by the power of the Spirit of God, do that which man cannot possibly do. And would you speak through thy word, through thy servant, and through the feebleness of this flesh, would you manifest your strength and your power and your presence, and would you do wonderfully in our midst what needs to be done this very hour together. We thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty is our theme this morning. Stand fast in liberty. We're dealing with Christian liberty, spiritual liberty, being dealt with in Galatians in all of Galatians. What is liberty? What is liberty? We'll get back to our main context in just a few moments. What is liberty? Well, liberty, freedom, is being freed from something. We've recently celebrated our Independence Day yesterday, July 4. I suppose it's caused some introspection and some thinking in the lives of many people as never before. Patrick's got his tie on this morning. I've got mine on. Some of the rest of you have patriotic attire. I am unashamedly and unapologetically patriotic. It breaks my heart. I spent part of the day yesterday in tears and sadness on behalf of America. I did. Thinking of the great blessings and the great opportunities and how God has richly blessed us. And it just broke my heart. I did, just to know what we're walking through and experiencing right now. But thinking about this matter of being freed, what is America? What was America freed from? When we celebrate Independence Day, what were we freed from? Well, we were freed from tyranny. We were freed from attachment to Great Britain, to England. We were freed from that. And freed from what? Well, tyranny or anarchy. Hey, that word anarchy is a word that's come up recently. Have you heard it? Been used in the news a lot. And some people don't know what anarchy is. So let's just talk about it because it's good for us to know what we're dealing with. Anarchy. It's a compound word. It comes from two parts. The an, the prefix, is a negative part that negates the word, and the archy comes from both a Latin and Greek term which means to rule, or it means authority, to rule or authority. Hence, anarchy is no rule or no authority, casting that off and doing whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, wherever I want to do it, with whomever I choose to do it. Anarchy. Anarchy. We're experiencing a little bit of that in America right now, aren't we? Did you know that one of the saddest chapters in the Scripture, in the Bible, was recorded like this? Every man did that which was right in his own sight. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? And those were sad days for Israel, too, when every man just was doing what he wanted to do. And we're seeing a little bit of that in our presence in America today. So I'm going to say a little bit about politics and some things right now, because it's hard to separate these two out. And it's what caught my attention in this passage to begin with, this matter of liberty. And it's used repeatedly here in this passage. And we're going to bring a biblical message concerning that, of course, about the spiritual aspects of that. But what about this word anarchy? There are some that seem to be rather proud of being labeled or branded with that term anarchist, practicing anarchy, that is, the throwing off of rules and law, even to the insane, absurd point of suggesting that we disband the police forces in America, defund the police. I thought it was quite a novel thing that happened yesterday. Someone messed with their mural and they changed their defund police to defend police. Oh, that's pretty good. Just change one letter, defund to defend. Can you imagine what it would be with no police? We have retired police officers in our congregation this morning. Can you imagine what it would be if there were no authorities? Well, you know, this matter of anarchy is not having the rule of law. Well, law enforcement officers are designed to take the law and to enforce it, to ensure that you're protected by the law. Now, I'm thankful for the laws of America. I am. There are very few of our laws in America that are bad laws. There are very few. I didn't say there are none. I said there are very few. Most of our laws are designed for our good and for our protection, aren't they? They are. And some of the laws get under my skin a little bit. I don't like keeping them. I don't like some of the speed limit laws. I don't. I'd like to drive fast as my Chevrolet will run. And that's pretty fast at times. But there are laws that regulate that. And it's for my good and it's for yours. And law enforcement is to be there to remind us when we overstep the boundaries and to enforce that. And that's good. That's good. Now, it's not a happy occasion when we get on the wrong side of the law, is it? But it's necessary and it's needful. And so I would just openly speak out against anarchy in America. We need the rule of law in America. We need to enforce our laws. Now, when it comes to the point that there are laws that are passed that violate the Word of God and the truth of what God commands in Scripture, then we need to violate those laws. Now, there are few laws in America that would fall into that category. There are some that I'm very displeased with. How many of you tuned into the White House celebration last evening? Did you tune into that? Boy, my heart was just thrilled. I liked those airplanes flying over. I liked when the White House was lit up in red, white, and blue. Not the rainbow, but red, white, and blue, the colors of our nation. That encouraged me because it wasn't too long ago we had a president that lit the White House up in some other colors, and it was wicked and evil and despicable in God's sight. Excuse me, we're live streaming, but it is what it is. And I'm thankful for at least some semblance of order and law that we saw in our nation's capital yesterday in the celebration. It thrilled me to celebrate the goodness that God has shown to us. Well, I'm going to get off of that because I could continue for a very long time along those lines. I'm very opinionated. There are times that I share little bits and pieces of my opinions with you. Hopefully they're your opinion too. If not, I'll pray for you that you'll come around. And I'm just a red-blooded, patriotic American. America's not right in everything we do. I know that. I know that. But I think we ought to keep our statues. I think we ought to keep our heritage. And where there's been wrong things that happened in the past, you can't change it. You can't change it. It's history. It happened. Let's learn from it. We've learned a lot from it. We have. We've made a lot of forward progress. We've done a lot of good things. And we just need to keep moving forward rather than put it in reverse and back up the progress somehow. Now back to the scripture, back to the context of Galatians 5. This is spiritual freedom that it's talking about, but there are some parallels, and perhaps you'll see them. Let me see if I can throw one out there for you. July 4, 1776, Declaration of Independence, is when those 56 signers, at great cost, great expense, wasn't that a wonderful start to our service this morning, just to remind us of the cost that was paid, the price that was paid for us to be here freely today. But when those signers signed that Declaration of Independence, it severed our tie permanently and once and for all with our motherland, with Great Britain. Now, I don't know if Great Britain would even have us back today. I don't know. I wouldn't want to go back. I'm glad to be free from that. Well, that was once and for all liberty there, but then comes a second phase of that, which has to have constant work, doesn't it? That's what we're experiencing in all of the confusion and the stuff in America right now. It's not really a discussion about whether we really, really were free from Great Britain. It's whether we take advantage of all the rightful benefits of the freedom, and if we administrate it properly right now in America. Well, now, there's a parallel, and it's found in Scripture, and this freedom, this liberty that Paul is talking about to the Galatian believers, there are two aspects, two phases of that. Now, there's no doubt that the book of Galatians was written to believers, to Christians, but something had happened to these believers. Paul had preached the gospel to them. They had opened their hearts and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. And yet, in a period of time, some well-meaning people slipped in, and they started mixing. They started mixing Old Testament Judaism, the law, with grace, and saying, well, you've got to do this in addition to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a lot of confusion at Galatia. And so I'm absolutely assured that these that Paul was addressing were saved, so they were free in Christ. That brings us to the first sense. So we would ask ourselves this question: what does the gospel of Christ, what does the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, what does the power of the gospel free us from? Okay, number one, it frees us from the wages of sin, and that is death. It frees us from the wages of sin. The Bible clearly teaches us, for the wages of sin is death. As Pastor Prosser preached recently last week about death, it is separation from God. The wages of sin results in separation from God. Ultimately, that's eternal separation from God, which has some other aspects as well. But the gospel of Christ, salvation, gives us liberty, freedom from the wages of sin, and that is death, separation from God, our lost condition. It frees us from that. So in that sense, if you're here this morning and you've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would be many of you, I know by your own personal experience from dealing with you, from sharing with you over the years, and some of you I do not know as well, but supposing that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've been saved, and you know it for a Bible reason, you have been freed permanently, eternally from the wages of sin and death. It's a done deal. That's it. That's it. No questions about it. It's sort of like when we were freed ourselves from the mother country of Great Britain. It was over with. That's it. It was a done deal. And now we begin working on phase two. And the second part is, what are we freed from? Not only the wages of sin, death, we are freed from our bondage to sin, that is, our slavery to sin. Now, did you know that there are two events? First happens at your salvation, at your conversion. That is the new birth. That's when you're born again. That's when the first phase of your salvation is completed in Christ. It's a done deal. You're saved, you're born again, the new birth. And then there's a second phase dealing with your bondage to sin, dealing with your sanctification, which takes place. It begins immediately, but it's an ongoing process that takes place throughout your entire life, as long as you're alive, as long as you're growing, as long as you're still breathing air and living. This is a process that continues. Now, sanctification simply is that process beginning at conversion, beginning at salvation, by which you grow in grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you overcome the effects of sin in your life. Did you know that there are many different people at many different stages of sanctification in this room this morning? There's some that would be babes in Christ. The scripture uses that term. I do not use that as a derogatory term to belittle you, but there is that term, babes in Christ, which means you've been born in the family of God, but you've not really grown. You've not really developed. You're not very far along in your sanctification, your growth process. Now, that could be because you've not been saved very long. There are several reasons why people don't go very far in sanctification. One would be simply a factor of time. It does take time, although there are some people that grow rapidly, rapidly. I was relating to our Sunday school class this morning about my grandfather, and that would have been my Aunt Linda's dad. Of course, she's visiting with us here, and how that there were some drastic changes took place in his life instantly, just like that. I don't know how it happened. I think it was a work of God. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. But for one thing, he'd been involved in booze and liquor, in making it. And when he got saved, bam, that was it. He was done. I mean, he broke up the equipment and poured out the goods. And he hated liquor. He hated it with a passion. And so he got started in his sanctification process somehow, some way, real quick. It just happened. And some people move more rapidly. Others, it takes time. How many of you in here this morning are a little thick-skulled? You're a little hard-headed. Are you? My hand's up. Okay. All right. Patrick, all right. That's several of us. We'll be honest enough to admit that. It takes us a little while to get it, you know. Maybe a little slow about the process. And that's the way it is with some people. So the second thing that we're freed from, that we have liberty from, is bondage to sin. Did you know that we are slaves to sin if we practice sin? If sin has mastery over us, if there's any sin in your life, that just controls you, you're a slave to that sin. Now, some people are a slave to the television set. Some people are a slave to electronic devices. There's widespread slavery in our society. It's epidemic. You're talking about something that is pandemic. There's a pandemic of electronic fever in America right now. Have you, with some interest, watched people up and down the streets? Do you ever watch people, watch how they are? You know what they're doing? They're all like this, aren't they? Everywhere. They'll run into street poles. They'll run into mailboxes. They'll stop out in the middle of the street with traffic and everything else. They're enslaved to their electronic devices. Now I know that it's easy to get habits and even to defend the habits. Say, oh, we can communicate with our missionaries. We can pray for them better that way. You know, I've heard all the excuses. I have. And I'm not exempting myself from any of those, but I'm just telling you, whatever controls you, you're a slave to it. Whatever sin, you say, well, there's nothing sinfully wrong about, anything that controls you, anything that has its hooks in you is innately wrong in the way it affects you. It doesn't matter whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether it's electronic stuff, whether it's your viewing habits, whether it's your friendships, whether your associations, any habits of life. The second phase that we have freedom from is bondage to sin. Did you know that Jesus Christ purchased not only victory over the wages of sin, death, that is death and hell, but he also purchased your victory over sin right now, so that you don't have to sin. You don't have to. You say, well, I just have to. I can't help myself. Well, it's true. You can't help yourself, but Christ can help you, and you can receive his help. You can receive his help. Have you ever tried to help somebody that didn't want any help? You can't help them, can you? You can't do it. Did you know that when you try to rescue someone that's drowning, if they won't receive your help, cooperate with you, they'll end up drowning you too. You've got to have people receive the help. Did you know that if you want help with sin in your life, did you know that Christ will give it to you? If you'll receive it, if you'll take it, if you'll cooperate, if you'll work on his terms, then he'll give you victory. He'll give you liberty. He'll give you freedom from sin. Now, there are always those who will say, well, preacher, you know, I just don't believe in what you're saying because you seem to me like you're saying that you can get to the point where you won't sin anymore. Don't worry about that. You're not going to get there. Don't worry about that. You're not there yet, I'll guarantee you. Neither am I. And you're not breaking any world record in moving that direction. We don't have to really concern ourselves about sinless perfection. But Christ will give you freedom from your bondage to sin. So I ask you this morning two questions. Have you been saved? Have you trusted Christ? I don't mean if you know about him. I don't mean if you've been to church. I don't mean if you've joined a church or if you've been to classes or if you've been baptized, because none of those things mean anything until you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Have you been saved? If you have, you'll know it. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that you are a son of God, a child of God. Number one, are you saved? Number two, are you living in victory over sin? I didn't say sinless perfection, but are you consistently living in victory over sin? Because the victory is yours. It's yours in Christ. Now, it's been said that the common experience of many Christians is living regular lives of defeat when it comes to sin, being surprised by an occasional victory. Every now and then we get victory over something and say, wow, this is really great, when it should be living lives of regular victory, surprised by an occasional defeat. That can be yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The particular thing that Paul was dealing with the Galatians was that they were becoming entangled in this doctrine that was knocking them off of their spiritual footing by faith in Christ by mixing something else that was interfering. And so it may be well said that there's something in your life that is causing you unsure footing, unsteady footing, knocking you off balance in the Lord Jesus Christ concerning sin. The victory is yours. It's yours. He's given it to you. Will you receive it? Will you take it? Now, I've gotten off on a couple of rabbit trails this morning. I know that. My heart is in several different places concerning our nation. My heart is partly in the prayer meeting already this afternoon, and in the emphasis that is there. I have great burden and concern for our nation. Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? One thing I know, God's people need to get involved. We need to speak up. We need to stand up. And we need to be counted right now for righteousness' sake. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have some sort of civil disobedience and that we disobey a lot of things that are going on. I have a lot of trouble taking a lot of things that are happening right now. I guess it's my rebel nature. Anybody else have a rebel nature? I hear something, so I don't know if I believe that or not. Especially depending on who said it. I just don't believe that. But it's really time that God's people sincerely, we listen up and we study up God's word and we speak up and we stand up and we be counted. If not, we're just going to let things go down the tubes, aren't we? Let's do what we know is right for the cause of righteousness. And I think part of the problem that we're experiencing right now is because for a long time, for a lot of years, we've sort of just been coasting, you know? We've sort of just been kind of going through the motions, coasting along. Well, yeah, it's always going to be that way. We'll always have these freedoms and we'll always have these liberties and God's always going to be blessing us. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves flooded with all kinds of stuff. So where did that come from? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on for 50, 60, 70 years, for a long time, and we've just sort of been coasting. Let's get revived. Let's ask the Lord to revive us, and let's ask the Lord for revival in America and for the salvation of the lost, for those that hate God. God can break their hearts and bring them into a right relationship with Him, and He just may use you or me to do it in the process as well. Let's pray this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as we pause for prayer. God's spoken to your heart about these matters. Altars are open for prayer at our invitation time. If some specific thing God's dealt with you with, you come and let us pray with you about it if we could. Father, we thank you for your gracious dealing with us this morning. Thank you for the land of liberty that you've given here in America. Father, if there are ways that we could be doing things and aren't, would you convict us of that? And would you guide us in faith with bravery to stand up and be counted for righteousness' sake. Father, would you bless the invitation time together? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.